The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the best player in football in a showdown against the best defense and why we very well might see it again in the Super Bowl. Then, if you're asking, why do Brady's Bucks start so slow and then get great? The answer is simple. Do not miss it. We will decide everything in this hour. And then, Carson Wentz really isn't going to like the first words that will be said about him on this program today. You will hear them in this hour as we get up with you starting right now. What a weekend this was if you are a football fan. Greeny and Rex are here and the regular Monday crew is all together. Dan Orlovsky is ready to go. Ryan Clark is fired up and ready to go. We will get you to the College Football Playoff Committee and the decisions that they made, but we begin with the game of the night. Super Bowl preview could be first ever meeting between Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees. We all know about the injuries Brees is coming back from, and Dan, early on, he was struggling.
Yeah, you just see a little hesitancy in that waiting for that receiver to beat man coverage. That ball floats, and it's an early turnover for this Saints offense.
Chiefs would turn it into a touchdown, 7-0 Kansas City, and then they add to that Travis Kelce from 1 yard out.
I love the tempo. They got out of the huddle quickly, quick snap, just kick it to Kelce. Blockers out in front, early 14-0 lead.
That's his 600th career reception. It's 14-7 in the final 20 seconds of the half. And then, Dan, what is DeMarcus Robinson doing back here?
Being careless with the football. I mean, that's the last thing you could do here is to fumble this ball away. It gets punched out, and all of a sudden, Anzalone's got an easy touchdown. You got into that cradle position. You know, fall on your side as you go chase that football and kind of pull it into your belly. This should be a touchdown for the Saints special teams.
Instead, it's a safety, so it's 14-9 instead of potentially 14-all at the half. Third quarter, same score. Brees starting to cook.
Yeah, this is great protection and then patience by Brees. You see the Brees and then the drift and then the touch throw to Latavius Murray as he leaks out, finds that front pylon. Saints finally score a touchdown.
They take the lead. They go for the two. They don't get it. So it's 15-14. And then Patrick Mahomes, how do we describe this?
I can't. Like, there's no words for me to use. The drift, the patience, the throw, the touch, and then the ability for Hardman to just track that thing in the back pylon and drag both feet. It's absolute greatness.
21-15 Kansas City, and then here we go. How about some more creative offense? It's the option play.
Yeah, just great feel. You know, you put that defensive end in a bind, and then the ability to have that late pitch by Patrick Mahomes is just awesome.
29-15 ball game, right? Wrong. Here comes Alvin Kamara.
This is a great little jet sweep. They catch it, give it to him. He gets out in space with lead blockers out in front. You need more touches for 41.
So it's 29-22. Then here's a terrible moment for Kansas City. Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes down and stays down. Adam Schefter is reporting this morning they expect him to miss the rest of the regular season. Chiefs would kick a field goal. It's a 10-point game. Then it's Brees not giving up.
It's a great throw. He's got the seam route versus man coverage. Holds that single high safety. Just enough touch on that throw to get in the end zone.
But they would choose not to onside kick. They kick it to Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes, they are the one team that in the four-minute Rex, they throw the ball.
Yeah, they do because they are the best player on the planet. And every single time they do it, here they actually ran.
They throw it for one first down. They run it for another. And in the end, Mahomes and Brees each throw three touchdowns. And it is Kansas City that holds off the Saints on the road 32-29. Drew Brees finishing the day, completing 44% of his throws. That's the third lowest in any game in his career, his worst since 2006. He started the game 0-for-6 with an interception. Of course, we should make clear again, in case you forget, that he was coming back from all of those injuries with the broken ribs and the lung. And so I guess I would ask you, Rex, now that we have seen the game play out, did they make the right decision starting Brees?
100% yes, they did. Absolutely. Look, he had to get this game in. He had to get hit. He's got to know now that, you know what, I'm okay. I mean, he's coming off of 11 fractured ribs, and he had to get these hits. I don't care how many he had to get them. He got through it, and as the game went on, he got better and better, and he played with more confidence. Absolutely right decision.
And so, look, if you're a team like the New Orleans Saints, there are no moral victories. But Ryan Clark, if you were the Saints walking out of that stadium yesterday, do you feel mostly good or mostly bad?
No, you walk out of that stadium confident. You walk out of that stadium feeling bad because you lost, but feeling good because you know if you play any mere mortal, you win that game. You look at Trey Hendrickson, Gardner Johnson, Marcus Williams. These guys played out of their mind defensively for the New Orleans Saints yesterday. It was just that you were playing against Patrick Mahomes. And listening to you and Dan and watching the highlights of seeing Patrick Mahomes drift to his left, throw the ball to the back pylon and Mecole Hardman drag both feet, that doesn't happen every day. You don't play teams that have those types of athletes. And so when those things happen, you say, you know what? They got that one. But that one was on them. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the New Orleans Saints yesterday. The New Orleans Saints didn't beat themselves. And on a day when your quarterback, your future first ballot Hall of Famer, was extremely mortal, right? 0 for 6 to start. Interception very early. You could see that he wasn't necessarily in the flow. He finds ways to make plays later. You make plays on special teams. You force the fumble on Patrick Mahomes in the pocket to give yourself an opportunity to win this game. The New Orleans Saints understand that they're one of the best teams in the NFL. They got their quarterback the first game, and it wasn't the first game against any old team. It was your first game against the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champs. The team that's favored to win it again this year with a quarterback that's playing out of his mind. If you're the New Orleans Saints, you say you line them up and we will knock them down in the NFC because we are that good. And you feel that way this Monday morning after a loss.
You look like you agree, Dan.
The Saints should feel great, but that this isn't the story of the game. This is Patrick Mahomes. Right. Patrick Mahomes will not allow this football team to lose a meaningful game this season. Do not take watching greatness for granted. I mean, yesterday was the perfect setup for failure. Playing on the road against the number one defense in the NFL, a great defensive line pass rush, three starting offensive linemen out, still wasn't enough. I mean, they hit Patrick Mahomes on half of his pass attempts, right? Everyone always says the way to stop Patrick Mahomes, hit him. The way to stop any great quarterback, hit him. You got to get him out of the pocket. You got to force him to be uncomfortable. They did that, and it still wasn't enough. Because in the second half, when third down presents itself, he's the difference. And I don't know if there's another quarterback in the NFL that wins that game with three offensive linemen out. We can't take watching what Patrick Mahomes does for granted. It's greatness.
So I'm going to check on Ryan and make sure that he's okay. Meanwhile, Rex, I'll come back to you quickly because the Saints score that touchdown. They get it within three, just outside the two-minute warning, and then they kick off, and they never get the ball back. And if you're the coach in that situation, do you try the onside kick?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you blast it through the end zone. That's your best shot. Now, I get where everybody's coming from. Yes, you got Patrick Mahomes over there, but this isn't like the onside kicks that we're used to. Like, nobody recovers them now. I think it's almost impossible. So, to me, they made the right decision. I'll tell you who never made the right decision.
Yes.
The Kansas City Chiefs. You've got to feel that kickoff, and that way it burns the 2 minute.
Right.
They let it go. It was like, so it actually ended up being, this was a perfect scenario. But, man, if you're the Chiefs, but this happens. Andy Reid, all those things, you nobody notices the mistakes he makes. Because you have Patrick Mahomes. Mm. But clearly, anybody else, if you would have lost the game, would be like, why the heck didn't he return that ball?
Yeah, it was about 2:06 left, and he doesn't come out with it there. And so that it is. Dan, final thought as we go on to the Buccaneers here in just a moment. Final thought on this, the Chiefs, that you said that no one's going to beat them in a meaningful game this year. Either conference, there's just no stopping Patrick Mahomes?
No, I think that it's one of those situations where he will not allow it. Like, he will will his football team to that victory. And it's specifically because when they need him to play his absolute best football, like, this plays a perfect example, Greeny. The defense wins this rep. Like, this is a great call, and it's great execution. You force a righty quarterback to his left. He's got to drift, hold the football, and he has basically a 3-foot by 3-foot square to throw that ball. It has to be perfect, and he does. Like, how many quarterbacks are in the NFL, maybe one with Aaron Rodgers, that do that on a consistent basis? That's why when it's a meaningful game, they won't lose because of Mahomes.
I would have bet you my life he was throwing that ball away.
Yeah.
When he threw that ball away, he was throwing the ball away. It's a touchdown. He does things that are just ridiculous. So that's one quarterback who wouldn't let his team lose yesterday. Let's call that foreshadowing because here comes another. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers taking on Matt Ryan and the Falcons. They know each other well. NFL. Second quarter, Falcons up 7-0, and they are rolling. Dan, Matt Ryan was on fire in the first half.
Yeah, great protection. He comes back all the way to number two. Calvin Ridley on that front pylon. Little kind of corner shake. Come back to it. Easy touchdown for Atlanta.
Falcons had a 14-0 lead, and Tom Brady and the offense could get nothing going in the first half.
And a big part of it was protection. One, you're getting beat, and then two, there's no plan here for the pressure, for the blitz answer. That's the story of the first half, a bad plan to handle blitz.
So it's 17-0 in favor of Atlanta, but then here comes Brady starting to cook in the third quarter. Look at this strike.
Green, look at this throw, man. Like, watch it from the back angle. You're going to see Tom Brady go from his left, scan back to the right, snap the head, and then watch this absolute rope to Mike Evans by Tom Brady.
And so went 17-7 after Leonard Fournette would score on the next play, but the Falcons continue to be hot. This is Hayden Hurst. It's 24-7.
Easy touchdown. You get man coverage. You slip inside. It's a great throw by Matt Ryan to Hayden Hurst. But I love the fact that they come back. Tom Brady gets that ball out of his hands to Chris Godwin. A physical touchdown at the end line.
That made it 24-14. And then here comes Gronk. And now they're cooking again. And then it's going to be Leonard Fournette taking it in. And Dan, they're right back in at 24-21.
Yeah, a little bit of rhythm. You got Gronk one-on-one. And then the physicality of their run game. Leonard Fournette finishes in Tampa Bay, starting to get something going on offense.
And here comes the moment. Bucks down 27-24, 6 minutes to play.
Rip.
Antonio Brown, welcome to the end zone.
What a throw. I mean, you talk about a laser from Tom Brady, 43 years old. I don't want to hear it. That ball was absolutely ripped. And then that defense got going a little bit. Pressure package finally got to Matt Ryan. Easy sack for that defense.
The defense holds on. AB scores for the first time as a Buccaneer. Brady throws for 390. Tampa, the win.
My comments to the team after the game is, if we could play 30 minutes like that, why the hell can't we play 60? And it's frustrating. But Tom has always been, he's always been a fourth quarter player. So it's kind of what we expect to do.
So the coach wants to know, why is it that we can play that way for 30 minutes and we can't play that way for 60? Ryan Clark, you answered that question in our meeting this morning.
It's very simple. The first 30 minutes, this is Bruce Arians' team.
Yes.
The second 30 minutes, it's Tom Brady's team. There goes your answer. Bruce wanted an answer. I just gave you one. This is why they should bring me in as a consultant. When you look at this team, you listen to Dan speak about this team not being prepared or not having answers for the blitz, not having that understanding. That's because they prepared all week to be a certain thing. They thought that they could be the whatever the hell we want to do Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like he said last week, but they weren't. And now in the second half, you get behind. Tom Brady starts to direct. Tom Brady starts to get Leonard Fournette lined up with the Keanu Neal rush that he couldn't get him lined up with the first half. And now you're hitting AB because you're finding the matchups. That's about Tom Brady. That's about Tom Brady understanding how to get teams over the hump, understanding how to use his individual matchups to the best of his ability. And then you watch Todd Bowles' defense and Devin White begin to put pressure on Matt Ryan. This is a team that plays better when they're backed against the wall because they forget about all the stuff they talked about all week, all the things that Bruce Arians said or Byron Leftwich said all week, and now it's all right, Tom, you tell us how to get there. And this is the way they need to start every week. This is the way they need to understand how to win, because when you have those great skill players and the greatest of all time playing quarterback, let him run the show, and Bruce Arians has to relinquish that control.
Rex is nodding his head vigorously over here.
Yeah, because look, you have Tom Brady. Act like it. Like, just realize that you have Tom Brady. Like, well, why do we have to wait 30 minutes to realize we have him? And then next week, I'm going to show you how smart I am. Here's the game plan. And like, he's got to be like, what are we doing? For the love of God, we have Tom Brady. And look, when Peyton Manning went to Denver, they let Peyton Manning run the show. You had the greatest of all time. Just say, look, Tom, whatever it is from now on, dude, I'm going to show up. The game is what time? I'll be there. You go. You take it, my friend. I'm right here. I'm going to go on the golf course. I'm ready to roll, babe. Let's go. It's all you.
Dan, get more specific. What is it in the second half? Take me through it. Yeah, I could hear you in your voice, the enthusiasm during the highlight. What is it that you're seeing in that second half?
Okay, so in the first half, you know, RC touched on it. Like, there's no plan for handling pressure. You know, it's to handle pressure, it's either get the ball out or commit numbers to protecting it. They did neither of that in the first half. And then the second half, you watch them bring in an extra tight end. You watch them use a little bit more play action. They committed six or seven guys into their protection because Atlanta had so much success. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait, we're keeping Tom Brady clean. And then I've said this for weeks. Your receivers don't need help. They're that good. All you have to do is make sure the quarterback is upright. All you have to do is make sure that you have the wall in front of him. When the wall is in front of him, he will cook. AB can win. Mike Evans can win. Godwin can win. Anyone who tells me Tom Brady can't play anymore, just watch the last 30 minutes. He threw for 320 yards in a second half in the NFL. He threw for a quiet 400. I don't care if it's against Atlanta. Like, that's the difference.
Right.
They go into the first half. They go into the first half, and it's like Tom Brady's on his back all the time. Did you not think that you, who have struggled with pressure all year, the defense wasn't going to come out and pressure you? And then all of a sudden in the second half, they come out, and it's like, all right, we'll keep an extra tight end. And or, you know what? We'll chip with our tailback. We'll use some play-action pass to make the defense hesitant. And then you watch Tom Brady do whatever he wants with the football. I've said it since October. As long as they keep Tom Brady clean, both with plan, execution, this offense will be fine.
Look, it's a week-to-week league, and we'll get through some of the other results as we go. But on a weekend where Green Bay didn't look all that good and the Rams suffered an embarrassing defeat and a lot of other – New Orleans loses a game yesterday. This week, the Buccaneers look like a potential Super Bowl team with the way they played in that second half. Everybody stay close. Much more NFL as we continue. But to the next order of business, and that is Selection Sunday. The decisions made and the college football playoff matchups will be Alabama and Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. They'll play that game in Dallas. Clemson and Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, as usual, in New Orleans. It's the third time that Alabama has gone wire to wire atop the college football playoff rankings in a season. And you see how it broke down there with Texas A&M at 5, Oklahoma at 6. And here they are. Those who have been covering it for us all through the season, Heather Dinich and Paul Feinbaum, getting up early for us here. Heather, I texted you during the Saturday night, during the Clemson-Notre Dame game, and I said, could Notre Dame get blown right out of this playoff? And we were sort of speculating whether or not it could happen. Why didn't it? Why did the committee leave them in at 4?
Because everyone has to remember that it is the entire body of work. We tend to get wrapped up in the moment. Oh my gosh, they got blown out. This is terrible. But the previous 10 games, including a win earlier in November against the top four Clemson team, that still counts. Yes, the committee absolutely reconsidered that win after what they saw on Saturday and recognized that it was a totally different game against a totally different Clemson team. But they still give them credit for the win as a win on the road against the top 15 North Carolina team. At the end of the day, this committee, whether you agree with the picks or not, used its protocol. Strength of schedule is one of them, and the Irish beat the Aggies in that aspect in that committee meeting room.
So, Paul, that was the decision they made. Was it the right one?
It was the right one, but it was not a good choice at all because Greeny, neither choice was really very good. I mean, you could have done the same thing with Ohio State. This committee used the protocol. They had one significant win of the two, and it was, as Heather says, the Notre Dame win against Clemson. That trumped everything else. A&M did not have a really good cause. I mean, they play in a great league, but their signature win was over Florida, which suffered its third loss of the season. And, you know, let's not think that this committee doesn't also think about the matchups. I believe they do. And would, as they were discussing it, I'm sure somebody was thinking to themselves, they may not have said it out loud, do we really want to see Alabama and Texas A&M in the national semifinal? We see that game every year in the SEC. We've already seen it this year. Or do we want to see Alabama and Notre Dame, the two greatest programs in college football history? We have our answer.
Yeah, we got the four brand names in there, right? There's no question of that. Bama and Clemson and Ohio State, who have been the preeminent programs in the sport in recent years, and then Notre Dame, which with all of that history and everything else. The Ohio State of it all, Heather, was the other thing everyone was talking about. So much talk amongst other coaches, Brian Kelly, Dabo Sweeney, about how they only played six games. In the end, how much difference did that wind up making in the room?
Well, They have been talking about unbalanced schedules from the start of these rankings. They knew, every committee member knew going into this, that this was going to be the most difficult season because of that reason. But at the end of the day, that championship mattered tremendously to them. They watched that game, and then after it was over, they went back into their meeting room because there was a break between the next game, and they started to deliberate it. And they noticed that Ohio State continues to find a way to win. They were out 22 people, including starting wide receiver Chris Olave. They gave him credit for that title.
So, Paul, I'll ask you the same question. Does Ohio State, having played just six games, do they belong in this playoff?
They do, Greeny, and this is 2020, and I know that's an excuse for everything good or bad, but you have to look at the big picture. And it wasn't Ryan Day's fault, and it wasn't Justin Fields' fault that they didn't start playing until late October. That was the conference's fault, and we don't have time to go back through all the mistakes that the Big Ten made, but Ryan Day and his team made the most out of it, and they deserve credit. And by the way, they wanted to play the whole season. It wasn't like they were saying, we don't really like the optics here. They were demanding to play, and I think they were rewarded for that, and they should have been, because they are, in my opinion, obviously the committee is as well, one of the top four teams in the country.
And so the decisions have been made. Heather and Paul, will keep you guys close because there's going to be so much to get into as these games now are right around the corner. Meanwhile, we are just getting rolling on Get Up today. Jam-packed as we continue. Coming up, Carson Wentz really isn't going to like the first words we say about him on this program today, and they are coming up in just a few minutes. Plus, more on the Chiefs. They just keep rolling along. Dan Orlovsky will show you why he thinks Kansas City will not lose again. This is Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance. All right, Rex Ryan, take a look at this and you tell me how we should describe this play by Derrick Henry.
Let's see.
Oh! No!
Oh, my goodness. Oh, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Somewhere Josh Norman sit back going, see, it wasn't just me. Gosh, no wonder moms don't want their kids playing football. Hey, moms, there's only one kid on the planet like that, so don't worry about it. Right. Oh, my goodness.
As we continue, Carson Wentz is not going to like the first words he hears coming up next right here on Get Up. Don't miss them.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. Eagles-Cardinals, for my money, was the most entertaining game of the day because of both quarterbacks. Dan Orlovsky, we start with Kyler Murray.
Just outstanding in space. That quarterback read, that zone run game down in the red zone. You got to have the guy that can tackle him. Not many do.
But Jalen Hurts would not be outdone. This is on a fourth down play.
Yeah, just really good feel. You know, pull up. You got that sprint out, pull up. Greg Ward kind of wraps underneath Patrick Peterson. They see it the same way. Touchdown, Philly.
Back and forth we go. We're still in the first half. It's 19-14 Cardinals. And then how about this one to Larry Fitzgerald?
What a great understanding of like where he is in the back of the end zone. I wish I had that, but the ability to just make that catch falling away and secure it. Touchdown Cardinals.
26-14. We're still in the first half. It's Hurts. It's Ward. It's another touchdown.
I love the touch on that throw and then Greg Ward getting his feet in. Jalen Hurts was in control of that first half.
He threw three touchdown passes in the first half. Then Murray would throw a pick, and here comes Hurts again. Now he's running.
Yeah, decision-making. Down in the red zone, nothing's there. Everyone vacates. Then the physicality. This is that 600-pound squat. That's Buda Baker, one of the better tackling safeties in the NFL. He runs over.
He's the first player ever with 500 passing yards and 150 rushing yards in his first two starts. Then it becomes the D-hop show with the game tied at 26. This is a huge play as he would take it all the way to the 40. And then, Dan, this might be the catch of the year.
Watch the hands, the contested catches, but the hand strength. The ability to go back, make that ball gets batted away, and then holding it in his one hand, that's what makes DeAndre Hopkins so special.
That's just not possible to make that catch, so Murray would throw for 400 yards and three touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, meanwhile, doing things like this, Dan.
Yeah, poise. I mean, just remarkable poise to make that fumble, pick it up, and make that throw. I thought this was a great attempt as well. This Hail Mary, great air on it. Give the ability to guys get guys down there, and then they're just a fraction away from getting that tip.
In the end, the Cardinals hang on and win. Hurts threw for 338 and three touchdowns. Coach, what'd you think?
I thought he, had great poise out there, great leadership. Played obviously physically tough, mentally tough. Made some really good throws down the stretch, especially in the second half when we kind of had to, put a couple drives together. So, played well. Played really well. Take care of the football. I mean, those are all things we talk about, and he's able to do that. Plus, lead the team into the end zone. Yeah, I'll probably have a decision for you, tomorrow on next week.
Yay, Will.
Have a decision for you tomorrow. Okay, Dan, I've been promising it all morning, and we had the story yesterday from Adam Schefter that Carson Wentz is unhappy in his role as a backup. He's not happy with the way things have gone. And if he is going to be the backup, then he does not want to be on the Eagles anymore next year. That was Adam Schefter's story yesterday. Dan Orlovsky, what are your first thoughts today?
Carson Wentz won't take another snap for the Philadelphia Eagles ever again. He can't. And he shouldn't. This is going to be a divorce. It's going to be pricey. Mm. And it's going to be impactful.
Wow.
I said last week, I don't see, if Jalen Hurts continues to play good football, how you could have both of them on your football team next year. After yesterday, you can't. After what has transpired this weekend with the report and then Jalen Hurts' continued performance, the door was opened, right, by Carson Wentz's subpar play. And Jalen has kicked that door open. And you can't have Carson Wentz play quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles again. This is it's going to become a toxic relationship that's going to affect everybody. Greeny, I want everyone to understand quarterbacks are very different. We're different people. Like when we walk out onto the field, that's my football team. That's my huddle. Those are my guys. Jalen Hurts ain't giving that up. I just don't see Jalen Hurts giving this up. And it doesn't seem like Carson Wentz is able to get that, And this is a great opportunity for him to watch the off-the-field stuff that Jalen Hurts excels at and how he can learn from it. I just don't think it'll be in Philadelphia.
So there's two completely separate pieces of this to deal in. We'll get to the hurts of it all in a minute. But this story coming out yesterday, as it did, as the team is sort of fighting for its lives and Hurts is playing so well, that did not sit well with you.
No, it didn't. And first off, you think Philly's going to allow this guy to come back? And I'm talking about the fan base right. and people in Philadelphia. It's like, this is the wrong town, you know, to be messing with. But here's the thing. Carson Wentz, you don't want to be a backup. Well, no kidding. That's everybody, you know, in the world doesn't want to be, you know, a backup. And I'll tell you who's more disappointed other than Carson Wentz. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? They gave you $100 million, and you think, oh, well, I'm disappointed. I'm a back. So are we. Okay, I can tell you this. So are we. You think we gave you $100 million to be wasted on the bench? No. You're getting beat out by a guy that, hell, quite honestly, I didn't think had the skill set. So I was wrong. But I'm going to tell you this. The biggest thing, though, right here is quit being a baby. Nobody gives a rat's about you anymore. You're yesterday's news, my friend. See ya. Adios. And if Dan's right, see, it'll be in a different uniform. Dan made a great point. He goes, quarterbacks think they're, you know, this is my team. I was the same way as a coach. This is my team. But here's the other thing. These are my guys.
Yeah.
All right? Every player should be like, that's my quarterback. Who do you think they're pointing to right now in Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. Is it Carson Wentz is my quarterback? Nah, I don't think so. It's Jalen Hurts is our quarterback, and that's the way it feels. So he's got major issues. You don't want us, guess what? We don't want you, my friend.
It's very well said. And so, RC, let's go to the hurts of it all, because not unspoken, he's been spectacular. He hasn't just been good. I mean, two games, Ryan Clark, he has been unbelievable.
No, absolutely. And think about the stress Jalen Hurts is under. It's like he's on a episode of The Bachelorette, right? Every day he has to prove his love, because you hear Doug Peterson, I'm going to go evaluate the film. I'll let you know. He's fighting for a rose every week, and he's winning. And you talk about saying my guy, and I'm listening to Rex talk about how this team is pointing to Jalen Hurts as its quarterback. No, they aren't. Right, you have guys like Ertz and guys like Kelce coming out, even Miles Sanders, Fletcher Cox. We support Carson Wentz. We are behind him. I told him I was sorry if I'm Miles Sanders that I got his back. This dude don't have the locker room. Jalen Hurts didn't get this job, and everybody jumped behind him and said, you know what, he's our guy. He's shown us that he could be better than Carson. No, they kept backing Carson. This dude's fighting against his teammates. He's fighting against his head coach, and he's freaking winning, right? 338 yards, over 400 yards of total offense, running over Buda Baker, who's an all-pro strong safety. This dude is playing great football. He's protecting the ball. He's being poised. He's leading without having the backing of the locker room, without having the backing of the head coach. This dude understands adversity. He overcomes obstacles. He got replaced by Tua Tagovailoa. He scores the running touchdown to win the SEC championship his junior year. He goes to Oklahoma and balls. This is a dude. We have to respect him. I didn't think he could do it. Clearly, the Eagles didn't think he could do it, but he is doing it at a high clip.
It's extremely well said. And again, we'll get back to this. I don't know why Doug Peterson has to say, I'll have a decision for you. Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead. You know what? Nick Scala, my producer, yes, we're going to leave it here. Go, Dan.
Here's my thing. This is a big picture thing. This isn't strictly about Carson, and it's not about Jalen Hurts. Like, everybody in that football team right now, I'm going to put myself in the locker room, is looking forward. Like, there is no looking back right now. The Eagles are looking forward as a football team. And I understand what RC said when it comes to the locker room initially. I can't sit here and think that they feel the same way, though. Watching the past 2 weeks, they got to be starting to be like, man, this kid's doing something. This kid has some special in him. I still 100% believe in Carson Wentz's talent. I'll be very clear with that. I just don't think it's going to happen in Philadelphia. My wife's from this city. I know how the people in this city are like, man. Like, they are passionate. They want someone who represents kind of the grittiness, the mentality, the toughness.
But that's the other thing.
What?
By the way,
that's the other thing. Dude is soft, bro. Like, as a person, Carson Wentz is soft, right? We talk about all the other things around that's affected him, right? The drafting of Jalen Hurts and the Nick Foles situation. It's because you at North Dakota State, you're the big dog. There is no competition. There is nobody from the outside chirping saying you can't do or you shouldn't do or you shouldn't be there, right? He don't have that grit. He don't have that Philly toughness. He doesn't have that no matter what you throw at me, I'm hopping right back up and I'm looking it in the face and I'm beating it. But Jalen Hurts does. Jalen Hurts is Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts is freaking Rocky. Put a statue of him up.
I'm going
to punch you 17 times in the face, but I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep coming. The other dude ain't got that. And I think the other dude is a more talented quarterback, 100%. Carson Wentz is a more talented quarterback than Jalen Hurts. But he don't have none of this stuff, man. He ain't got none of that stuff. Every time this dude goes through something, he folds.
I think he got this. I agree. He got it. He's got to grow with this, but I think he's got the toughness. I disagree with you on that.
Okay, it's good. It's a very good conversation.
I think he's physically tough.
We'll do more on this. I promise we will.
Physically
and
tough,
again,
man,
the only one of us who's ever been a head coach here is Rex Ryan. I'd like to be one. It seems unlikely I ever will. I, for the life of me, don't understand why Doug Peterson says, I'll have a decision for you tomorrow.
Why
does a coach do that?
I think he's just playing with the media now.
I mean, yeah, he's
got to. I don't think there's any question he's just playing with the media.
I will think about it.
Quarterback will be like, oh, you know what, Doug, you're gone too.
All right. Let me run the hurry up here through some of the other NFC East results. It'll be quicker than we planned. RC, Giants lose to the Browns last night. What's your number one takeaway?
It's absolutely expected, but my number one takeaway is about Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Coming off of a tough loss to the Baltimore Ravens, playing a team that's competitive each and every day, you go out and you dominate. Baker Mayfield plays dang near a perfect game. You run the football, you stop the run, you put pressure on Colt McCoy. And when you look at the Giants, like, they're below 500 team who doesn't have their quarterback who makes this offense go with what he could do with his legs. They're still in the fight. They're going to continue to compete, but we know that this is more about the Cleveland Browns and who they are moving forward than the New York Giants.
The Washington football team also lost yesterday, Rex, to the Seahawks. What was your number one takeaway?
Number one take is, what in the world are we doing throwing 55 times with Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
This is not Joe Theismann. What are you doing here? And the other thing is, something else I never thought I'd see, how about 181 yards rushing against that vaunted defense? So to me, those are the two takes, but right here, Dwayne Haskins, guys, he can't do it. How much more do we need to see? He can't do it. Quit throwing 55 times. Try to win the game. Run the football and play some defense.
It was stunning that they were never out of the game, and yet they just threw the ball 55 times. Dan, the only team that won was the Cowboys. What's your take?
Yeah, they're better with Tony Pollard than Ezekiel Elliott to start with. I mean, Tony Pollard gives this football team juice. It gives this football team explosiveness at the tailback position, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Also, if you get three takeaways, you're going to win a lot of games in the NFL. And so that's what the Cowboys had yesterday. They had takeaways, but then they had a back that created some offense for them, and that hasn't happened this season in Dallas.
Outstanding. So the Eagles, when it's all said and done, fall to last in the NFC East. They're only even alive because of the tie. ESPN's FBI favorite is Washington still to win it, 74%. We do know now for certain
Greeny,
no team
that.
In that division will end with a winning record. All right, I have to go to break. Coming up, the New York Jets got their first win of the season, and the only way to describe it is it's the worst thing that could have ever happened. We'll talk about that. And then, speaking of good talk, don't miss First Take 10 Eastern. Stephen A. Smith will talk with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. That will be live at 11:30 Eastern right here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The NBA is in a gift-giving mood this Christmas Day. 5 games with the biggest names in basketball on the court.
Zion takes on the Heat. Steph squares off against Giannis. And KD and Kyrie head to Boston.
Then it's LeBron versus Luka, followed by Kawhi and the Clippers against the Nuggets.
Greeny, all of the games on ESPN and ABC.
And Get Up and First Take will get your day started, telling you what to watch for and what to expect.
A hoops Christmas to remember, starting with Get Up and First Take.
All right, that will be fun. This was not. Rams, Jets, yesterday, third quarter, Jets leading 13-3. And then it's Sam Darnold. He's looking for his tight end, Chris Herndon. All he does is drop passes. But Dan, this one he holds on to, and it sets up on fourth and goal from less than a yard away. Adam Gase specializes in kicking the field goal from here. But in this case, they give it to Frank Gore, who punches it in, and the Jets, Dan, are way ahead.
All of a sudden, I'm sitting there going, there's no way that the Jets are going to do this. They're going to win this football game. No, we'll get the reverse to Robert Woods. It's great perimeter blocking, one of the most important players to his team in the NFL. The Rams, they're going to come back and win this game 24-23.
Absolutely. And then you start feeling, here comes Goff, and here comes Tyler Higbee. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, thank God. 23-17, the Rams are starting to mount a comeback. And then it's the next Rams drive, and they're inside the red zone. And, oh, thank you, it's a Christmas miracle. Cam Akers is going to take it in for the touchdown, but hold everything. They call holding. They call holding. They're bringing it back. The Rams would have to settle for a field goal. They're still behind. Rams now trying to take advantage of good field position. Jared Goff is back. This is a third down. What the heck is that? And now on a fourth and four, they just need 4 yards. They just need 4 yards. Where are you going with this? So Marcus May breaks it up. So the Jets have a good chance to win the game, God help us. And now here we go, just over 2 minutes left. Of all the ironies, they wind up running the clock out by completing a pass to a 62-year-old man, and the Jets wind up holding on to win their first game. They're in victory formation, 358 days between wins, and the Jets wind up beating the Rams 23-20, and my phone blew up, and not in a good way, I'll tell you that, and here's why. Because the Jaguars now are guaranteed. They won't play anybody the last 2 weeks, and they now have a 74% chance of getting the first pick in the draft. The Jets wind up seeing the one thing they had to look forward to fall completely by the wayside. So, who do we start with here? Rex, I'll start with you. What do we say about that game?
I mean, it is the worst win ever. It really is. Because, look, people don't realize it. You have a generational talent that you just passed on. Yeah. Now, I get it. For the players, hey, congratulations, you got to win. Nobody has ever been a part of an 0-16 team. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Actually,
right, Dan?
Dan, does that ever happen?
Why? Oh, I'm sorry. Why? I'm sorry, buddy. I forgot you were on that team. I'm like, sorry. But really, you're,
I'm
you
out.
Know, but you're happy that for those kids, you know, yeah, they win a game. But, look, I'm a huge Jet fan, as you know. But this, as soon as they won, I'm like, you know, the difference between Trevor Lawrence and anybody else in this draft is huge. But this is a one in every, I mean, 10 years a guy like this comes out and you're going to get him and you're going to sell out your stadium and you're going to sell out the jerseys going crazy because you got a spectacular player and you just blew it because you won a game. Now, and how the hell, if you beat the Rams?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Rams, how the hell do you live this down?
Let's talk about that for a second, Ryan, if we can, because I've been picking the Rams the last 2 weeks on the radio to go to the Super Bowl. I take back every word I said about them, and it starts with the quarterback, RC, doesn't it? That was a horrendous performance.
We just have to accept it, man. He's just the guy. You know, and he's not the dude that we saw in Hard Knocks his first year with Jeff Fisher. He's also not the dude that led the Rams to the Super Bowl going 13-3 and beating the New Orleans Saints in the NFC Championship. He can't do it by himself. Like, Jared Goff doesn't uplift the team. Jared Goff can't put a team on his back and carry it. And so now you have this identity crisis because you've turned to a defensive team. You've turned into a team that has to run the ball first in order for your quarterback to be successful. But when you draft a guy number one overall, when you give him $110 million guaranteed, he's supposed to be able to make plays to win football games. And yesterday, against the worst team in the world, I'm talking about high school, college, junior high, little league, all that. The worst team in the entire world with a coach who has now ruined the franchise, ruined the young quarterback,
again,
and also ruined your future by winning a game, you couldn't beat that team. right? And so when you look at the you look at the Rams and you want to believe in them because they had this great coach and generational talents on defense and Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, you realize they don't have the guy at quarterback and they don't have the guy going forward for the future. And so when you watch that game, you can't help but be frustrated. You can't help but be upset. And I, like you, Greeny, take back everything good that I've said about him because clearly I'm hoping against hope that Jared Goff is a guy that I don't believe he is. And he's just not that dude.
They have so many weapons. I mean, Kupp and Woods and Higbee and Everett. And if they find running backs all over the place with and now it's Cam Akers and the defense, they have one star after another. Dan, take either side of it. What's a quick final thought on this one from you?
Yeah, right now, if you're the Jets, the thought process goes to the future and how drastically different it is right now. I mean, this was the best job in the offseason, maybe outside of the Chargers. Now it's like, you know, it's not nearly as good because you're not getting that generational freak at quarterback. I'll say this. Now you're the number two pick. Okay, so the first thing is you're keeping Sam Darnold if you're gonna keep the number two pick. Then you're going to go hire a guy like Brian Daboll to revamp your organization and your football team offensively. You're going to do two things with the second pick of the draft. You're either going to draft Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU or Devontae Smith out of Alabama.
Both from Louisiana.
Or you're going to trade that draft pick for a bunch of picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the questions now become far more significant than the answers, and that's RC, you said it great. The coach, he ruined the present, then he ruined the future. All right, coming up, Monday Night Football. We got a good one tonight. We got Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers taking on the Bengals. It's 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Coming up, Saints defense gave Patrick Mahomes everything he could handle, and yet he was able to handle it. So why does everyone here think it was a good day for New Orleans? You'll find out next.
11 days to the college football playoff semifinals, New Year's Day on ESPN.